Hi, this is Dr. Bill Meyer. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. You can hear the show live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., and there are many more podcasts for this and all our other faith radio shows available on our website. You can just go to myfaithradio.com. And thanks so much for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
A psychologist, an author, and a veteran broadcaster. But most importantly, he's a dad. Welcome to Dr. Bill Meyer Live on the Faith Radio Network. Stay tuned for a faith and culture connection, a biblical perspective on current events, and practical family advice with psychologist Dr. Bill Meyer. You can join the conversation by calling 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. Now, let's join Bill Meyer live.
Well, good morning and welcome, and happy Mother's Day weekend. If you are a mom, I pray that you have a wonderful day with your family tomorrow, maybe even your extended family. My mother-in-law flew in to spend a week with us on Tuesday, and my brother and sister-in-law flew in from New York yesterday with their little two-year-old daughter, so we have a whole house full of family members right now, and I pray that you have just a great day with your family. You know, as we get started today, I wanted to share a brief phone call that I had this week. I love asking kids to tell me what is special about their moms at Mother's Day. And I had a chance to talk to Michael, who told me what's special about his mom.
My mom is so awesome because she takes me to camp and she lets me play the piano.
What are you playing the piano?
Different songs.
Yeah? Like what?
Like church music and shouting music.
Shouting music? Can you sing a little shouting music for us?
Like on the piano, you kind of like, it's like dun 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 dun, like that.
Thank you, Michael. I love that shouting music. Man, I got to get some of that at my church. You know, we Presbyterians are a bit subdued when it comes to our worship music. I mean, I love a big choir and I love the majestic organ music, but well, I'm going to talk to my pastor about working in some shouting music this weekend. Well, guys, I want you to look at the calendar. This is your final reminder. If your wife is a mom and you don't have something special planned for tomorrow, you had best get a move on. Man, at least get, you know, a nice Hallmark card and some flowers, because if you forget, I shudder to think what might happen to you. So true confessions. When our first child was only a few months old, it was my wife's very first Mother's Day as a mom, and I totally spaced out. Okay, you have to get the context here. I was a bit older when I got married, so I'd been a single guy for many, many years. And for all those years, Mother's Day meant my mom. Okay, it was centered around my mother. And so I always tried to do something special for her, even if I was, you know, living 2,000 miles away. Well, my mom had passed away about 2 years before we had our first baby. So Mother's Day was pretty sad for me. That day was pretty sad. I really missed my mom, and I knew there wouldn't be that special Mother's Day phone call to her that I made every year. But for some reason, I failed to wrap my mind around the fact that my wife, Lisa, was now a mom. I mean, she was my best friend. She's my spouse. She's the love of my life. But now we have this little five-month-old baby at home, so that meant that, yes, she was a mom. So the morning of Mother's Day came. Okay, this is really sad. She said, "So what have you got planned for today?" Just, you know, this sweet expectant look on her face. And I said, "Well, you know, after church, maybe we could grab some lunch at Chipotle, you know, take little Joseph for a walk to the park in his stroller. I don't know. What do you want to do?" And then I saw the crushed look in her eyes. And she paused and she said, "It's Mother's Day." And man, you talk about a deer caught in the headlights. Oh, my Lord. So I apologized profusely. And I I begged her forgiveness. I might have even gotten down on my knees. And then I, before breakfast, I rushed to the nearest grocery store to buy her a card and some flowers. But of course, the damage had been done. Well, guys, I have never, ever forgotten her on Mother's Day since that day. In fact, this week, I actually bought her a dozen roses yesterday to get a jump start on the holiday. I have the most amazing wife. She is my best friend. She is a wonderful mom to our three very rowdy children. She is an incredible encourager when I'm feeling down. And man, she is a truth-talking prophet of God when I need to be confronted on my stuff, which actually is quite regularly, by the way. When we got married, we first got married, Lisa used to tell me that she felt she was fortunate to have married up. And the reason she said that is she came from a broken home. Her father was an atheist, very antagonistic towards Christianity. And she spent a lot of sad and lonely days as a child. Well, I came from an intact family. My parents were married for 40 years, and even though, you know, our family wasn't perfect, my childhood actually was pretty carefree and pretty happy compared to Lisa's. So she said she felt she had married up into somebody who came from, you know, a more functional family. But in the past few years, I have come to realize that I am the one who married up. Because my wife is incredibly kind and caring and patient, and she puts up with me, which is an amazing accomplishment. God has gifted her with remarkable wisdom and discernment. She is a great judge of character. And you know, like the Bible says in James 1:19, she is quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. I wish I could say those things about myself. So yes, I definitely married up. And I thank God every day that he brought me this beautiful, amazing woman into my life. So happy Mother's Day, honey. Well, if you are a mom, you'll want to stick around because coming up next, we're going to be talking to one of the nation's best loved moms, Jill Savage, the founder and executive director of the ministry Hearts at Home. Jill is going to challenge you. She's going to encourage you in your oh-so-crucial role as a mother. And, you know, if you know a mom who might need some encouragement today, I'm going to encourage you, call her. Call her up. Tell her to tune in to one of our Faith Radio affiliates, the station you're listening to right now, or she can listen online at myfaithradio.com because Jill is going to have some things to say that mom needs to hear. Well, it's 11 minutes past the hour. This is the Faith Radio Network. We'll take a quick break and be right back.
Conversation continues right now, and we want to hear from you. Call us at 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. Now, here's Dr. Bill Meyer again on Faith Radio.
And we'd love to have you join that conversation. In fact, if you have a question for me or for our guest, Jill Savage, today, please feel free to give us a call in the next 40 minutes or so, 877-93-FAITH. Jot that down, 877-93-FAITH. You can also check us out online at myfaithradio.com. Well, Jill Savage is an author and a speaker who is passionate about encouraging moms. She is the author of 6 books, including Real Moms, Real Jesus, Professionalizing Motherhood, My Heart's at Home, and Is There Really Sex After Kids? Love that book title. Jill has been featured on national radio programs such as Midday Connection, Focus on the Family, Family Life Today. She's been in Today's Christian Women magazine. She's the founder and executive director of Hearts at Home, which is just this wonderful organization. And their whole purpose is to encourage, educate, and equip women in the profession of motherhood. And today she joins us to talk about her new book, No More Perfect Moms, Learn to Love Your Real Life. And Jill, welcome to Faith Radio.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you.
It's such a blessing to have you on, especially on Mother's Day weekend. And what perfect timing for this particular book to come out. Before we dive into the book, for our listeners that are not familiar with Hearts at Home, tell us a little bit about the organization, because you do some really incredible things.
Well, Hearts at Home is designed to bring encouragement to moms in many different ways. We started out as primarily a conference ministry, and it started out of my own need as a mother, because quite frankly, I felt better equipped to be a music teacher, which is what I went to college for, than to be a mother, which is what I was doing full time at that time. And so I was looking around, where's the mom school? I used to go to teacher conferences, and I'd come back all excited for the classroom and all excited for what I had to teach. And I needed that now, but I didn't need it for teaching. I needed it for motherhood. And I couldn't find anything. So we had our church had a growing moms group. I went to the moms group and our church leaders and said, what would you think if we did a mom conference? And we expected about 400 women to come, and we actually had 1,100 women that came the first year.
Wow.
That grew to 2,800 the next year, 3,400 to where we are today. We usually have 5,000 to 6,000 women at our conference in Illinois. We have a conference in Minnesota. We have two conferences overseas. And then starting in 2016, we'll have a conference in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Hmm. So we do mom conferences, and then we also provide encouragement through our website, heartsathome.org, through my blog, jillsavage.org, and through our printed resources and our free monthly e-newsletter.
Well, obviously, you've tapped into a huge felt need among women. And I'm guessing, and you correct me if I'm wrong here, that Christian women have a particularly tough time for a couple of reasons. One, many of the voices in the culture are giving them very mixed messages about what motherhood is all about, what femininity is about, what it means to raise a child in today's world. And then on the flip side of that is, unfortunately, many women have perhaps experienced some guilt or condemnation in the decisions that they have made, either to continue working as a mom or to quit working and becoming a full-time mom. And so my guess is that one of the reasons why these conferences have become so popular is that these women, many of them, are just really struggling.
Mm-hmm. It's true. I think, you know, we certainly have we have a fair share of women who are struggling and just looking for true north. They're looking for affirmation and encouragement. They're looking for that pat on the back that your two-year-old is very unlikely to give to you and say, gee, mom, you're doing a great job. So definitely they're looking for that. And other moms, they feel good about what they're doing, but they want to find some continuing education. And that's really what Hearts at Home offers, is continuing education for mom, you know, because our kids don't come with instruction manuals. And so we need to know, where can we go to learn more parenting strategies? Where can we learn about our marriage? Where can we learn about homemaking and hospitality and just anything that a woman needs to deal with in her life? So we've really found that women come to our conferences hungry. In fact, we tell our speakers, don't mess with telling them why, tell them how, because they're going to be sitting there with a notebook. They're going to college for the day. They're going to college on motherhood. So our moms come hungry to learn and to laugh. We always include a comedian in our weekend. We include incredible. In fact, this year we still have one more 2015 conference, and Dr. Gary Chapman and Lisa Turkhurst are our keynote speakers, and Ken Davis is our comedian. And then on top of that, we offer 30 different workshops. So women really design their day to meet their needs as a mom, no matter whether they're parenting infants, toddlers, grade schoolers, high schoolers, or empty nesters.
I love that real focus on continuing education, because, again, it's so needed and so necessary. Comment, if you would, on the messages that many moms are receiving from the secular culture, and how maybe those messages could trip them up compared to what God is telling us in His Word about motherhood.
Well, you know, I think there are so many messages coming in from our society in general. In fact, that's why I wrote No More Perfect Moms, because I believe that the world is telling us that perfection is possible. It's telling us that by the things that we see, the things that we read, the television shows we watch, the movies that we watch. All you and I have to do is walk through the checkout line at the grocery store, and we see headlines that scream that perfection is possible. Hmm. And when we read God's word, we know that perfection isn't possible on this side of the of heaven. Certainly God wants us to pursue excellence, but perfection is not attainable, but he is perfecting us each and every day. And so my call to women is to give up trying to be perfect and instead embrace being perfected, which is really what the Christian life is about. We are becoming more like Christ every day. We will mess up. And in fact, I start the book out with a story of forgetting one of my children at school.
Go ahead. You got to tell us that one.
Well, I launched right into it. I'm like, let's just get it out on the table right away. I was making dinner one afternoon. I was helping one of my kids with homework, splitting up a fight between two others. It's been a busy afternoon. The phone rang, and all I heard on the other end of the line was, oh. Mommy, did you forget me? I did a quick head count. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, my gosh, one is missing.
Oh, no.
Oh, I felt terrible. I assured her I would be right there. I got in the car. I beat myself up driving across town to the school. How in the world does a mother forget one of her children? I obviously have too many, and it's too late to send any of them back.
How old was she at the time?
Oh, I just felt terrible. But I just think that was important to launch the book with that story. And I share many more of my failures throughout the book because we need to get on all on the same page. There are no perfect lives. Perfection is not attainable. You will mess up. What you and I have to learn how to do is to learn what we need, how to handle those mess ups when it's us that messes up. And when it's our family members that mess up, how do we handle imperfection? Because it will show up. And most of us would say, I don't have a problem. I don't expect myself to be perfect. I don't expect my husband to be perfect. I don't expect my kids to be perfect. But the truth is, when imperfect shows up, we don't know how to handle it. And we often don't handle it well. We are angry. We are shaming to ourselves, to others. And we have to learn a better way. And we have to know that this failure piece is a part of life.
You know, as I survey the landscape of popular culture as a child and family psychologist, and I can't help but think that over the last 50 years in particular, with the explosion of all the different forms of mass media, and the fact, and certainly the last couple of years with the social media, what we have wrought, and I'm not going to, I don't want to criticize technology because there's a lot of wonderful things about technology and social networking and the ability to connect with people you don't see on a regular basis. All those things are great, but I'm starting to see all this research about comparison and women who get depressed because they see the perfect life of their Facebook friend or friends. And here they are. They're scrolling through and finding out, you know, how wonderful, you know, it is for Susie and Barbara and Betty. And man, my house is a disaster and my kids are disheveled and I've got a back-talking teenager. And boy, I'm a loser. I can't do it right. And of course, what they're really seeing is a doctored up, prettied up view of these other women's lives. Do you think if we look back at women prior to, let's say, the rise of mass media, do you think this was as big of an issue? I mean, I can imagine, you know, women would read books. There probably were books on how to be the perfect mom, but it just seems like now it's so instantaneous that you can compare yourselves and shoot yourself down in a matter of 60 seconds.
Yes. Well, and one of the things that I talk about in the book and when I speak on this topic I'm so passionate about is women are comparing their insides to other women's outsides. And you never, ever measure up when you do that. And, you know, 50 years ago, we used to say, you got to keep up with the Joneses. Well, you saw the Joneses once a week at church on Sunday. Today, you see the Joneses every time you log on to Pinterest, Facebook, so multiple times a day. So, yes, I agree with you. I love technology. But if we don't grab hold of the false messages it is sending us, we are going to go down this comparison journey, and we're going to come up with some wrong conclusions. And so when I speak on the subject, this is really important to me. One of the things I do is I show pictures of family, and they're good pictures. You know, they kind of look like, we look like the perfect family. And then I went to each member of my family, each of my kids, my husband, and I said, what would you be comfortable with me sharing about your insides? And each one of them gave me something. So then I take them piece by piece, and I disassemble our family picture. And I think that, I have, the feedback I've gotten is that is so, so powerful, because all of a sudden we realize, look at a picture, and we come to some conclusions, but if you take off the mask and people know the backstory, then all of a sudden we realize, gosh, my life isn't really that much different than theirs. And so I think that's why No More Perfect Moms is a very gut honest book. I share openly about marriage struggles my husband and I have been through. I share openly about mental health issues that we've gone through with one of our sons. I share very openly about the challenges that we've had parenting. Right after the book came out, I went through a breast cancer journey. I chose to be open on Facebook. I showed pictures of me bald for the very reason that I want to disassemble this whole idea of comparing our insides to other people's outsides. Let's start sharing our insides more with one another. A little bit more honest Facebook post, the good stuff, but the bad stuff too at times. And certainly not all of that is supposed to be on Facebook, but in one-on-one relationships with a girlfriend, where can we share more openly so that we can all stop this comparison game and we can realize that there really is no enviable life out there. And we need to be more grateful for what we have and recognize that we all face struggles.
That's so beautifully said, Jill. Can I ask just personally, how are you doing with the cancer journey?
I'm doing well. I have hair again, so I'm glad for that. And I've been declared cancer-free. So I'm about 6 months out from where they consider it being the highest risk of recurrence. So hoping for no recurrence and doing well.
Well, I want to encourage our listeners to pray for you, Jill, that will be the story moving forward. There will be no recurrence of cancer. And Father, we just pray for Jill. I thank you so much for her life and for her ministry. And I just ask that you would continue the healing process in her body, that there would be no more cancer, and that you would give her just a sense of peace and calm about the future and her health. And we know you indeed are the great physician, and you tell us that we can cast all of our anxiety upon you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Jill, we'll take a quick break.
Thank you.
And we'll be back with more on your new book, No More Perfect Moms, Learn to Love Your Real Life. This is the Faith Radio Network.
It's Dr. Bill Meyer Live on Faith Radio. Get ready to join the conversation. Now let's join Dr. Bill Meyer live.
And welcome back. Happy Mother's Day weekend to you. And if you're a mom, boy, oh boy, we just appreciate you so much and what you do for the life of your family. And I'll just speak for my own role as a husband and father. I could not do it without my wife. She is just the best support and partner, life partner I could possibly have. And I could not raise our kids without her. There's just no way. Our guest today is Jill Savage, and Jill is an author and a speaker, the founder of the Hearts at Home Ministry, and she has a new book out, which is just a wonderful. It's really, really challenging women to live their real life. It's called No More Perfect Moms. And Jill, before the break, you were talking about the fact that this is probably your most personal book to date, in that you are very frank, you are very honest, you are very genuine and vulnerable in this book, and even talked about some of your marriage struggles. What made you decide to include that, and how did your hubby feel about that?
Well, that was when I was writing the book. It was when we went through some of our darkest marriage season, and it was a very, very difficult season. My husband had been in ministry for 20 years and had struggled with some depression over the years. But when he actually resigned as a pastor, which he felt like he needed a break, and went into construction, he kind of lost himself. Went through a midlife crisis, and it was a very, very dark season. And in fact, while I was writing the book, he actually left for a period of time, actually was unfaithful, and all of that. Of course, I was not going to include any of that at the time, but by the time I was done writing the book, he had and I knew if he would return to God, he would return to his family, because he just really got disillusioned with faith and with God and with everything. It was a midlife crisis to its fullest extent. And he did return, and we talked about it. He'd been home about 3 months by the time I had to turn the manuscript. And I said, you know, what would you think? Here's the content. And I let him read it. And he said, no, you need to share it. So, at that time, we didn't put the infidelity in there. We've just recently started talking about that publicly. But we put the fact that he had left, and that it had been a dark season. And I'll tell you, the more we've gone public with that part of our life and that part of our story, I know it's the best, it's the right thing, because people need to know they're not alone. And as if we don't talk about it, then people think, oh, we're the only ones struggling with this. Certainly there's a right time to do that. You know, we took 3 years of healing before he actually, we started talking openly about the infidelity. But, you know, we have to be very careful about that as well. That's one of the things. There's no stories in the book that any of my family members haven't approved and written, you know, signed off on.
But, there's something so powerful, Jill, about knowing that other people are in the same boat as you are, and it really can aid in the healing process, because we can feel so isolated, as if we're the only family going through that. I'm the only one that has a husband that's doing this. But when you share that, isn't it amazing how people just come out of the woodwork? And I'm guessing that's what has happened with you.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. We did a 10-day blog series, which can actually be found on my blog. If you go to jillsavage.org, there are some buttons, and one says the No More Perfect Marriages blog series. And we did 10 days talking about the dark season, the infidelity, and how we recovered from that. And my blog went from 5,000 readers to 25,000 readers overnight.
Wow.
Overnight.
Amazing.
So and we couldn't keep up with the email. Just could not keep up with the email of people saying, this is going on in my life, or we're in a dark season of our marriage, and thank you so much. We don't feel alone. And so, yeah, this is No More Perfect Mom's message. I think, honestly, the biggest gift that we can give ourselves for Mother's Day is to stop the unrealistic expectations of ourselves and stop comparing ourselves unfairly to others. And if we will do that, we will find a sense of freedom and contentment with our real life, our real imperfect, sometimes hard, sometimes beautiful real life. And what a difference that can make, because we'll let ourselves off the hook of expecting perfection. We'll let our family members off the hook of expecting perfection from them, and we'll live in a more grace-filled environment with grace-filled relationships and the ability to learn to laugh at ourselves, the ability to know that there is no perfect life, and that even when, and especially this is the importance of the Christian walk, is there may be times, and this is something I borrowed from my friend Jennifer Rothschild during my dark season, there are times where it is not well with our circumstances, but it can be well with our soul. And I certainly found that in my dark seasons of our marriage, my dark seasons of having cancer, in our son's, our struggle with our son's mental health issues. Certainly never thought I'd have to visit one of my children in a mental health hospital. And yeah, it's, I can't imagine what people without faith do in those moments. What a dark time that is. So it is dark in the life of a believer, but we can cling to God's truth and his hope in the midst of heart as well.
You know, Jill, another aspect of this story is it's really an example, I think, for other women in the church who have been through similar circumstances to be honest and open, of course, in an appropriate way. You don't want to be boundaryless, you know, in your relationships.
Sure.
But I'm just thinking of there's a large number of women, I'm sure, listening today who perhaps have been married for many years. Perhaps they're even a grandma and they've been through some tough stuff. And when they go to church on Sunday, they're rubbing shoulders with young moms, with women who are just starting off, or women who've been married for 3 or 4 years and they're kind of hitting a wall. They've got a couple of little ones at home. And you know, the Bible, and I often come back to this because I believe so firmly in the one another's of Scripture and that we need to do them more effectively as the body of Christ. And, you know, James tells us to confess our sins or confess our faults to one another. And I really believe, and maybe you're actually setting an example, maybe this is a whole other area of your ministry, to be challenging the women who have walked down that road and have been through that stuff, to be open and honest about that with the other women in their lives, especially the younger ones who are, you know, early in their marriage, early in their parenting, because how freeing that could be to those women who are looking at Pinterest every day and believe that they have to be Martha Stewart. And, you know, all of their friends on Facebook have the perfect house and the perfect life. And now they're talking to this wise older woman from their church who is saying, honey, let me tell you about it. you know, wouldn't that be a great thing?
Yes, we do. I think we need to be doing it peer to peer. I think that we need to be doing it when the older women are teaching the younger women. And it doesn't even have to be informal settings. I mean, it can be in a formal relationship, but maybe you are standing in the church lobby and having a conversation with a mom that's feeling overwhelmed, and you decide, you know what, I'm going to bring some tea over this week and just encourage her and share a little bit of my life and some of the struggles I had. That is a gift. It is a gift. And, you know, I'll share a story that happened to me. Many years ago, I have a friend that went through a very hard time in her marriage. Her children were young. Very hard time in her marriage. And my husband and I mentored them and loved on them during that season, and their marriage recovered. Their children grew older. Oldest daughter got married and was having troubles in her marriage. And we had them over for dinner one night. And she said to me, she said, this is so frustrating to me because my parents never had issues, and I don't understand why we are. And I knew that her parents had had issues. And of course, I did not say a word to her, but I went back to my friend, and I said, I think it's time for you to be honest with your daughter. You don't have to tell her every little detail, but I think she needs to know that your marriage went through something hard because she feels like she's failing because you made it appear that things were always good in your marriage. And that was really challenging to her. And I believe she went back and had just an honest conversation with her daughter. And what a gift that was to her. So I just think we need to embrace authenticity. And, you know, our fear is that people would think less of us. But the truth is, people think more of someone who is willing to be honest and open about their struggles. And they actually respect them for their honesty. That's what I have found.
There's no doubt about that. A few years ago, I knew a pastor who had been struggling with depression silently, and he made the decision. He went through treatment and got on antidepressant medication and went to counseling and was doing better. But he made the decision to speak openly from the pulpit about his struggle from depression, which nobody knew about. Nobody in the congregation knew about it. And let me tell you what happened. I happened to be there that Sunday. It wasn't my home church. I was invited there by a friend just out of coincidence. And I was there that Sunday when he made that confession. And I cannot tell you the amount of people that went up to the front and hugged this guy and later found out how many of them said, I have been struggling with this silently for years. And the fact that you, as my, you know, somebody, my spiritual leader, somebody that I look up to every Sunday, was willing to tell me that it's okay to take an antidepressant medication. Oh, it's okay to go to counseling, and that it's okay that, you know, and he, of course, gave the theological explanation of living in a fallen world and that it affects our bodies and sometimes our brain chemistry and, you know, so many people in that congregation were helped by this one pastor being willing to be so vulnerable. What a great example to all of us. And you're doing the same thing in your book, Jill. So thank the Lord for that.
Well, I'm just, you know, it took me a while to get to that place. I remember the first time I was in a small mom's group and I was getting ready. We were studying a book and every chapter was something different about motherhood. And one particular week was on marriage. And it was another hard season of our marriage, and we had just started marriage counseling. And I thought, what am I going to do? And it was the first time I was faced with that. And I went to my husband and I said, what do we do here? I want to be honest, but I want to honor our privacy. And my husband was their pastor. So it complicated things. So we really spent some time praying about it. And both of us agreed that it was okay. He chose to tell his elders, and that it was, you know, we had just started counseling and we were seeking help, and I braced myself for what was going to happen. You know, I thought, well, somebody could be all up in arms and upset that I would be teaching. And my phone rang off the hook all afternoon with women saying, thank you. I thought I was the only one. So that was my first lesson in the value of authenticity. And I really believe that this book is a call to women to embrace that and then to ultimately find freedom and contentment in doing so.
Our guest is Jill Savage, and the book is called No More Perfect Moms, Learn to Love Your Real Life. We actually have three copies of the book to give away, compliments of the great folks at Moody. And if you would like one of those, especially if you're really in need of this book right now, or you know a mom who might be really in need of it, let me encourage you to give us a call, and we'll put you into a drawing at the end of the hour. We'll draw for the three copies. The phone number is 877-93-FAITH, 877-93-FAITH. Call us right now, and we'll take a quick break and be back with more with Jill Savage after this on the Faith Radio Network.
Now, back to Dr. Bill Meyer live on Faith Radio.
Well, it's so great to have you with us today. Thank you for joining us on the Faith Radio Network. You can check out our entire broadcast schedule at myfaithradio.com. By the way, if you go to the website, you'll find some great resources for moms on this Mother's Day weekend. We have some wonderful bloggers, and we have some great articles on all aspects of motherhood, and certainly, of course, on all aspects of faith. Whether you're talking about learning more about Christian worldview or evangelism, you could spend all afternoon on the Faith Radio website and you will be encouraged and you will learn and you will grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Again, it's myfaithradio.com. My guest is Jill Savage. She is the founder and executive director of Hearts at Home, a wonderful ministry, and she's the author of this new book, which is called No More Perfect Moms, Learn to Love Your Real Life. It's Jill's most personal book to date. A lot of people will read this book and go, oh my gosh, I had no idea that Jill Savage struggled with, I mean, Jill Savage, the perfect mom. I can't believe that she's gone through these things. Well, one of the things that Jill has done is been very, very honest and vulnerable in this book, and it's helping a lot of other moms. And so I encourage you to get this book to a mom you know who might be struggling, might be caught up in that whole comparison game. Because this book will encourage her and I think give her a whole new perspective on what it means to really be a mom in God's eyes. Now, Jill, one of the things you say in the book is that it may be time for a new measuring stick. And I love that. What do you mean by the new measuring stick?
Well, I think what we've been talking about through our whole conversation is a new measuring stick. Because if we're using, images that we see on Pinterest or Facebook to measure ourselves, then that is the wrong measuring stick. Now, if we are, what we have to measure ourselves against is God's Word, and you know, seeing ourselves through God's eyes, being, you know, instead of saying, I'm not this, we have to learn to say, I am this. And because our tendency is we're far more acquainted with what we're not and where we feel like we don't measure up. And what we need to do is recognize that God doesn't see us that way at all. So the new measuring stick, I think, is in two parts. The first one is just in general, recognizing when we see somebody and we go, we see somebody and go, well, they don't have this problem in their life, whatever it is that we're dealing with. We have to go, no, everybody has a backstory. Mm-hmm. In fact, I did a blog post this week, and the title of it was, Are You Measuring Your Insides Against Kate's Outsides? And I'm referring to Princess Kate. Because, of course.
Oh, it's the perfect family with the beautiful little children. Oh, it's just, you can't. And now she has the Queen's jewels to go along with it.
Yeah, and, you know, everybody was like, oh, my gosh, she looks so beautiful, and it was only 10 hours after birth, and, you know, and guess what? Any of us could have accomplished that if we would have had the assistance we had, and guess what? I'm personally glad I don't have to appear publicly 10 hours after birth.
There you go.
You know, I mean, that's so I think that we so easily go, oh, my gosh, she's perfect. No, what? Guess what? Even Kate has a backstory. Mm-hmm. Even Kate has insides and things that she has to deal with in her life that are less than ideal. And so I think that one of the best gifts we can give ourselves is when that comparison wants to creep in, when the enemy wants to creep in and go, you don't measure up, that we tell ourselves, guess what? She has a backstory too. She has insides I don't know about. But I know she has insides, and I'm sure there are things that she struggles with. That's a gift we can give ourselves. And then ultimately, you know, knowing that we have to know that our value and our self-worth is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's not in our appearance. It's not in the behavior of our children. It's not in the way our kids look. All of those things are going to change daily, if not minute by minute. We cannot be defined by our teenager's blue hair. We cannot be defined by our toddler's meltdown in Walmart. We cannot be defined even by our spouse's poor choices. We have to be defined. We cannot be defined by our own poor choices. Does God want to move us beyond them? Does he want to redeem them? Absolutely. But we are defined by his word, and it says that we are beautiful, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that we are his children, and that doesn't change based upon our circumstances. And that's what's going to truly ground us and move us from being perfect to being perfected.
There's that new song from Francesca Battistelli, He Knows My Name. And I Every time I hear that song, I just encourage people, and especially moms, I say, listen to the words that Francesca is singing and let your daughter hear those words, because your daughter, especially a preteen teenage daughter who is getting all the wrong messages from all the wrong places, even if you're doing your best as a Christian mom, boy, she's already caught up in the comparison game. And I know that because I have a junior high son, and he tells me all the time what's going on in his little community. And I just love if for those listeners that have not actually heard Francesca's song, check it out maybe on YouTube or look for the lyric sheet. It's very powerful. It's kind of the whole gospel wrapped up into about 3.5 minutes. And so that's well said, Jill. Okay. So let's say we have a new mom. She's just starting off and she's read, What to Expect When You're Expecting and 5 other books. And she has this idyllic view of, I'm going to go through natural childbirth and it's just going to be so perfect. And then I'm going to bring home this bundling, little non-crying baby. And I'm going to, and yet that first year can be a real struggle, especially on the marriage. What would you say to a young mom who is just starting out, or maybe even about to have her child, and she's several months along in pregnancy, looking forward to it? How would you encourage her to not use the wrong measuring stick and not get caught up in something that could really lead to a lot of discouragement and frustration and maybe even depression in that first year of motherhood?
Well, I would encourage her first to watch her expectations. I don't think we necessarily need to lower our expectations, but we need to change our expectations to better match reality. And, of course, a new mom is not going to know something till she knows it. That's the hard thing. But the minute you start feeling like you are overwhelmed or you're failing or you're not measuring up, stop and take a look at your expectations. Because most of us are dealing with expectations that are off the charts. We're expecting to get too much done during the day. We're expecting our spouse to read our mind. We're expecting ourselves to be less tired. And so we have to actually kind of step back and reevaluate those expectations. So that would be the first thing that I would encourage her to do, is to watch those expectations, revisit them as often as needed, so that you're not becoming your own worst enemy. And then secondly, I would encourage her to consistently say to herself, when she's on Facebook, when she's on Pinterest, when she's at the grocery store and she sees somebody who's all put together and she's got spit up on her shirt and, dealing with all that, I would encourage her to say to herself, looks can be deceiving. Everybody has a backstory. I'm sure she has struggled as much as I have. She just happens to be having a good day.
A good day in photoshopping. Come on, let's be honest. A little bit airbrushing on that magazine cover. Oh, gracious. I don't know, Jill. There's part of me that sometimes really feels like there's a spiritual battle going on with, and maybe I'm overthinking of this here, but I believe Satan is using, as beautiful and wonderful as technology and connecting through social networking can be, I believe that Satan sometimes uses that in very insidious, destructive ways to set us up for spiritual failure. And that grieves me deeply.
It gets, because then we start pursuing the wrong things. We start, we try to keep up with the Joneses. And we're doing it for the wrong reasons. And so then ultimately he gets us off course. And it's ever so slight. It's ever so gentle that we don't even realize that we are pursuing the wrong thing, or that all of a sudden we're feeling like we don't measure up, and then we're struggling with our faith. And so, we've really got to recognize it, embrace authenticity, and cut ourselves some slack.
Some great words from Jill Savage. The book, again, is called No More Perfect Moms, Learn to Love Your Real Life. You can learn more about Jill's ministry at jillsavage.org or heartsathome.org. Jill, thank you so much for your time today. May the Lord bless you in your ministry.
Thanks for having me.
Jill Savage here on the Faith Radio Network. I'm Bill Meyer. That wraps it up for today. You have yourself a wonderful weekend. And moms, have a great Mother's Day tomorrow. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. If you'd like more information about this show, just go to myfaithradio.com and click on the program page for Dr. Bill Meyer Live.